Hello, 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 one and all, and welcome along to the Laundry Room Podcast. A very warm welcome to you. I hope you're good. I hope you're all well this week. Thank you for listening in, as always. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode and all the ones previous. But today, I am joined by an absolute queen of queens of queens of queens, who's also a king, but sometimes definitely a queen. Please clap your thighs together. Go crazy in your homes. It's the one, the only, it's Tina Legs Tantrum.
Hey.
What's a fucking crack?
Hello, Roxanne.
Oh my God, after all this time, we've
got... I know. I'm in your room.
It's like Martin McCutcheon all this time.
All this
maybe
time.
This time,
oh,
I'll
God.
Be lucky. Everybody comes in here and sits like, look at all this. And I'm like, I know. Like,
it's lovely. Like, it's really cute.
Aaron Butler, the comedian, was like, oh my God. I'm like, can I dress you up?
It's lovely. How long have you lived here?
I've been here 5 years.
Wow.
Or maybe six now. I've lost count.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting too small for one man. I need like a bigger room.
Yeah, you do. You need a bigger caravan. This one's not, isn't kind of rocking.
I know, it's only one berth, for God's sake. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of more berths. Possibly if Conor McGregor becomes president of Ireland, he says he'd get me a 3-berth one, so he'll book me.
Roxy's going to get a barge. She's going to live on a barge.
Amsterdam, I would get new boobs. I work in a window, and then I would get out the boat and go, hey, do you want to fucking play with my flips? I would love to live in Amsterdam. That'd be great.
My favourite.
I could see you living in Amsterdam. No, you'd be a Gran Canaria woman.
I'm a GC girl.
You'd be in the Spanish sun.
I am a GC girl.
Lovely wee set of breasts, nice long human hair right down to your arse.
Speaking of GC, I seen you had a go. Oh, I loved your podcast with Miss Brandy.
Yes. Miss Brandy. That's dynamite.
I know. When I'm over, it's like...
I would love to hear say your name. I took a video with Dinah and she was like, tell me about your piss room.
You were like, what?
It's like, oh, I knew straight away. I was like, I can translate pish. I was like, yes, absolutely. It's fucking brilliant. But I just love over there. It's becoming one of my favourite things. Like, I've been over twice, but I'm still like, I need to go again.
I know. Well, with my commitment going back to Union Street every Saturday.
She's back, yes.
She's back.
If anybody hasn't known yet, she's back on a Saturday.
Every Saturday, bottomless brunch from 1 until 4. And then show starts at 4 in Shoe Factory.
Yes, the Shoe Factory's open. We're not all crammed in the bar.
Yeah.
Because there's a big refurb on the way.
On the way. I can't wait.
I cannot wait. We're all going to get a wee square of the toilet upstairs and get so sniffed. No, like the wood's all like pished out. The old man piss over the years just burnt right through.
Okay, it still needs a whole new lease of life because it was so lovely for so long.
It really was.
I think things with Union Street were kind of sort of different because after lockdown, I think we all just went, where do we go now?
Everybody just went everywhere.
They did. They really did. And I think people had a chance to sit down maybe for a wee bit too long.
Yeah.
You know? But then I had my own personal battle with stage 4 osteoarthritis.
That's right.
And then when I went back at the end of 2021, everything was, oh my God, I had the best year. And then it came to 2022 and things started to get really bad for me personally. I never told a soul, never told anyone. And then it came to 2023 and I knew in the summer of 2023 that I wouldn't be able to keep it up anymore because I was doing the show on my own.
Yep.
And the pain and the uncomfortableness was so unbearable. And I was even taking toilets to help me pee. I've never told anyone this before, so it's kind of an exclusive.
Exclusive to my podcast. She took tablets to pish.
I did. And I just...
Show me your bathroom.
It was so unbearable for me then.
And was this your hip pain then?
In both my hips. And
you were running along the top of the bar. You were jumping off those pillars at the end of the bar, sliding right down.
And being such a vain queen, the heels I knew were bad for me, but I thought...
Pleasers?
Totally.
Yep.
And I thought...
I call them slag slippers. There's a lovely wee pair in black. They're a wee bit lower. They're a wee bit lower now.
They are gorgeous.
£17 on AliExpress.
Get away.
I'll get your link sorted up. So I'll charge you 50, sure, for a good price. Good price, madam. Good price for you.
She wants to buy a house.
Yes, we're talking about that for recording.
So then what happened was...
So pain was getting sore.
I went to the doctor and then I went to physio and you need more x-rays. And then it came back. It was like, there's nothing more we can do because you have no... Osteoarthritis attacks the cartilage.
Yes.
Of your joints.
And that's the main part.
That's what holds it all together. And I was bone on bone on both hips.
Fuck. Oh no. Oh, that grinds. That's pain. Yeah. That is pain.
So 2024 July, I had phoned the Ulster Independent Clinic, and the lovely lady answered the phone and said, "We have the hip specialist of the UK, Dr. Chris Malloy, and give me an appointment for that Monday." That was on the Friday. I went on the Monday, and on the way up in the car, I was like, "Daddy, please stay with me today. Whatever happens, don't leave me." And long story very short, I went to see him, and he was adorable. And he said to me, "Tell me your backstory." So I told him all about leaving the Royal, going to do drag, and he was fascinated. He was literally fascinated. He kept saying to me, "You left a pension paid job for life to become a drag queen." And I was like, "Yeah,
yes, I did."
And
yes, for anybody that didn't know, Peanut was working in the Royal.
I was in the hospital
many moons before.
I was there for 4 years as a porter, and then 14 years in fracture clinic, and then I won the Alternative Miss Ireland in 2001.
That's right, Baxter. Except we get listened to a lot by a lot of younger ones as well that don't, which I have to always give the old history, because I remember AMI was like the big, was the only, should I say,
drag queen competition
on Ireland, run by Miss Pandora Penty Bliss.
She did. South.
Have you ever been hit by a milk carton?
The money that they all raised went to HIV and AIDS.
That's right. Every so you penny. Won AMI.
And I won it. And that changed my life, because I came home and went to work, and the sister who had, there was a big amalgamation going on, City Hospital moved over to the Royal, and they brought over all the orthopedics with them, and then it was Carol who said to me, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "What do you mean? You've just won a national competition, take a year out." So I took a year out, and the rest is herstory.
And that was it? You're like, tell you what, I'm back.
And I think because also when I was young, when I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, "What would I be?" "You're going to be a drag queen, Miss Tina."
"You're going to be a man dressed up as a woman, baby. You're going to be a star. Star maker."
I was very heavy set.
No, you weren't.
I was. So. Every time I got on the scales, it said to be continued.
Bin bag full of water. Swear to God. Sitting like, you know. Funny enough, there's a poster for the event. We'll speak about that event coming up. Yes, that picture. Yeah. I was like, bastard.
Big chunky Tina. But I never
it was
had
a Christmas Putin.
I never had a problem with my weight, Roxy. I was quite happy. And then, I think because I was carrying all that weight, and then I was a dancer, then I had my own dance school, then I went, and then drag came along, and it was big high heels and big, you know yourself, thigh high boots and all that marking. And I guess all my life I was just, I've been very physical, dancing and walking and walking and training and running and running and blah blah blah, and something had to give.
Oh God, it all adds up. Definitely holds up. Because even whenever I first started working alongside you, you were training every week, at the gym every day. Bum, 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 bum,
that
bum,
was
bum,
me. And the thing
and all of the years as well, continue to form.
And even when I wasn't supposed to be, I was still doing it, because I don't know much else other than now. I have devoted 30 plus years to drag, and I still have the passion for it. Like, I really, really do. But the blessing was, I got the letter the day after my birthday last year, and because I was praying to my daddy in the car on the way up to see the consultant, Mr. Malloy, my surgery was actually my daddy's 17th anniversary away from home.
Fuck
20th
off.
Of November. Fuck you, way off.
Fuck off, you bastard. Down here. Tell you what, I'll get away from my caravan door. You're talking to you. That's a good omen. That's a good sign.
It was a wonderful sign, because I just reached out to him, and he's never left me or my mum, because as everybody knows, I take care of my mum.
You do indeed. You'd have been travelling in a ring everywhere.
Oh, for God's sake.
Fuck that woman's been up and down the caravan parks everywhere.
She's been everywhere.
Took her over to Peavon.
She really is the Irish Rover.
Oh, she fucking is. All right.
The Irish Rover.
Have you been to Magicory yet?
No.
Have to get you on one of those.
She's a lovely wee Catholic woman, but she's not that Catholic.
Oh, she's not that off.
She's not that Catholic.
I've done many a flight down there before, and I tell you, they're all like, don't be able to
really hear this.
Fucking so brilliant.
We were sitting today, and I just turned and I says, "Mommy, you know what, Pope Francis, I don't think he's going to make it, God love him," because I saw him getting wheeled out of the chapel, or sorry, the hospital.
The one beside the Royal.
In Rome.
You were in the same ward.
You're like, I washed him. I gave him a bath.
Your tongue.
Like,
Father.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Whoop. My God.
That's right. I heard the news. It was like, news has come in from the Vatican. Pope Francis had a great night's sleep. Like, Tina's been
over. Tina was on. Tina was on.
She done a karaoke.
She done the late. So,
feeding them wee crackers.
I said to Mummy quite innocently, Mummy, do you know something? I don't think Pope Francis is going to make it because he just didn't look one bit well when he got out of hospital. And she just rolled her eyes and she says, Pope John Paul II. Now there was a Pope. Because my mummy, he was the first pope in the first ever pope who went to Phoenix Park in Dublin in the 1980s.
Right.
And there were thousands of people went, and my mummy was there, and we videoed it because it was one of the first ever live events that was on television.
The Pope coming to Ireland.
Do you remember the VHR? Video cassette recorder.
Oh, call it the VHS.
And the Betamax. Oh, well, we start off with the Betamax, and that didn't
work. Remember Glitzy's
VHS.
What about Glitzy's hard drive? What was that? Not Glitzy's hard drive. What do you call them things? Mini disc
player. Mini disc player.
That's it. God, Jesus, no. Glitzy's hard drive cleans it. Clean as a whistle, I swear.
I know.
The mini discs. Nobody would know what that is now.
Like, and I recorded everything for the whole thing. And then about 6 weeks later, we sat down to watch it, and my brother had been recorded a football match. Over the top of it.
Oh, well. Was there murder? Not house.
There wasn't a windy left. We tarry went ballistic. Of all the things I ever want to pope, that was my visit. But, like, you could never have seen her because it was hundreds of thousands of people who went that day.
All there. Pope John Paul II is the only one I remember, actually, to be honest. Because then there was... I remember that one because he's a German, that Ratzinger. Yeah. Remember him, that Ratzinger. I just... I always remember Belfast women going, at Ratzinger. He's fucking wild, so he is. I'm like, hey, that's a German. Don't never trust Germans. Don't mention the war. Ratzinger. And then that one now, I can't remember what he's called. Oh, he's... Francis, isn't it? Francis.
Pope Francis himself.
Absolutely. So I've actually got questions, but we did get into quite a few of them while we were going.
Okay.
So what was your inspiration for Teen Legs Tantrum? So what?
It kind of happened at parties in the beginning because we used to party a lot way back in the day, and I was phenomenal.
No, you didn't.
I did. I tore the beef. Believe you me.
I remember the second generation of parties and them hot tubs up.
Yes, out my back garden.
Fucking hell! I used to
just sneak upstairs and at somebody's house, and I used to go through the wardrobe and go downstairs with a wee dress and all on and a bit of makeup, and they all used to go, and we all used to be like really out of it, and they were like, what are you doing? And but it really lifted the party, and
everybody's all having a crack,
and that's how it started. And but before that, it was a Monday night, it was drag, because back in the old gay scene in Belfast, you had these different nights that were gay nights, and one of them was a Monday night in the Limelight.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's something you wouldn't see now, think about.
And I dressed up as, this is how I got my name, I dressed up as Tina Turner.
Right.
I had the black, no, I had a wee wig.
There's the wig right behind you there too.
I had a denim jacket, and I had the Tina Turner wig on. And I had this wee short skirt and all on. And what happened was, this guy was really stunning. I seen that.
Oh my God, speak of that.
Gorgeous. And I seen that this guy was on stage and we were all getting lined up. But I had been a bit naughty. I went a wee bit too far with the partying. And I was holding my breath and I was getting a wee bit munchy on it. And then... I just couldn't wait. So as they were interviewing this person who was all dry, I just grabbed a microphone and the guy goes, who are you? And I went, I'm Tina. And I just went, and I'm better than all the rest. So everybody started singing with me. And because I looked ridiculous. But they crowned me as the winner that night. And that name, Tina, stuck with me. And then my wee friend, John Clemens, he said, Tina Tantrum. And I went, it's nice. But then I was in a relationship then.
For anybody that doesn't know audio, there was a face. I was like, I do that too.
Do you know what? No, it was lovely. But anyway, move on.
Oh, no.
The legs came from Jake.
Oh, really?
This is what happened. We were doing a Sunday bingo show. And I had no dance tights.
Right.
And it was Trudy who said to me, just put some tan on. So put some tan on my legs, and the girls helped me and put the shimmery and all on, and I had a wee short skirt and I'd lost a wee bit of weight in the high heels. And when I was on stage, you know, you do the agony aunt.
Yes, we were having a set. And
Jake came over to me and he goes to me, are you wearing tights? And I was like, no. And he went, your fucking legs are to die for. I never wore another pair of tights after that.
That was it.
I was done. So then it came Tina Legs tantrum.
And that was it.
Two G's, please. And people go to me, why have you got two G's? And I was going, because of two fucking legs, that's why.
Two G's,
it's
absolutely.
It's practical in my head.
Yes, two G's. People always go to me, why Roxy Tumble Jar? I was like, because you'll never forget it.
Exactly.
And then they go, what do you mean? And then the next thing, 2 days later, friend request. I'm like,
yeah.
It works. Yeah. It always works. It just sticks with your people. Go, yeah, tumble dryer. Yeah, something. Yeah, dishwasher. Yeah, something. And I'm like,
low heat or high heat?
I'm like, yes, I just agreed. I'm like, yes, I am that cunt. Yes. So do you think your drag and yourself, so your own personal self, are different or do they blend together?
No, they're different.
Definitely different. You keep
very,
them different.
Very, very different. I keep Tina for stage, for shows. Mm-hmm. I'm like a lot. You and my drag are very similar in ways, you know. And when Brandy had commented last week on the podcast that he couldn't believe when he saw you, drag.
He's like, you look like Harry Potter. I'm like, fuck off.
He says you were like a nerd.
You just think.
And I was like, well, that is it. Because, but what gives it away for me is it's not my mannerisms. It's my eyes. It's like you. Same. As well. People look at you and they go, are you Tina? And I'll go, yeah. And they go, oh my God, your eyes.
They know by their... I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, well. What? But it's my... Apparently I have these eyes. I just look at you like...
Mm-hmm. Like Medusa.
My name's Medusa from the Lower Fucking Falls.
From a shore road.
My pep was taken off me recently at that fucking labour party. Went into labour. Oh, fuck.
It's been paused. We'll be in touch.
We'll let you know the score. Fuck's sake, my back's Medusa.
I know.
Jesus.
But yeah, no, I tend to keep me, myself, and Miss Legs as separate as possible.
Absolutely.
And also, that applies to social media as well. I'm not a great lover of social media. Believe it or believe it not.
It's very boring, I find. It's like, ugh.
And you tend to try to, and the thing that if I could give one piece of advice to all the baby queens out there, you know, it's good to be competitive, but do it on stage.
Yeah.
Stop. I don't need to know and see everything on
slap
social
her
media.
Online
shut
or go, that
up.
Bitch coming.
Stop it.
Do it on stage. Outperform. Yeah. Show it in like costumes.
Keep and that gorgeous talent for stage. Keep all them cheeky one-liners when you've got a microphone in your hand.
Yes. And my thing at the minute is I want to get a lot more on the microphone. Because whenever I did start, I was on with you girls. And of course, yourself, Trudy, Portia, because I remember sharing them with you three guys every week.
Yeah.
Big characters. So I was quite...
It was very intimidating.
Can be intimidating, but I've learned from that. And I was actually saying to Trudy on Saturday, like, I've got Tina's coming on Wednesday. My God, I remember years ago being like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard because you're big characters and
huge personalities.
But now people I find saying that to me, going, God, you're so chatty, and how can I get them? I'm like, just do you, and I will guide you or say, try not to, like, don't give them too much. Do not let anybody hold your mic more than anybody else.
Exactly.
See, do you ever get a customer tries to grab your mic?
Oh, I hate it.
Or you're like, Tana, get the fuck.
But what I tend to do with that was rather than reciprocate, I just go, what's wrong? And because I make eye contact with them, and then they'll go, and then they let go of the microphone. See, if you try to pull it back, they'll pull it off you, and then that's where you start to go wrong. See, instantly I go, what's wrong?
What's wrong? What's
and
wrong?
They'll go, no. And then I'll go, no, it's okay. What is it? Talk to me. And because you're listening to them and looking at them, they tend to really back down very quickly.
I'm on me, the spotlight hits them.
Yeah, it's just I just don't get I kind of turn it around verbally and say, you know, what's wrong?
What's up?
Are you okay? Okay, love. Okay, right. No problem. And I think it's only because as long-standing, hard-working, successful queens, you get to learn the tricks of the trade by making mistakes.
Oh, 100%. You learn, and I still do let other girls do that. I'm like, no, go ahead. And then you go, and I'm like, remember, see that? You've done, then you remember, then the next step is don't let them do that by doing that. So you let them learn. Rather going, do that, not
this.
It's
like, it's what Brandy hit the nail on the head last week when he was on the podcast with you, and he had said, when you go to Gran Canaria and you work hard at the show.
Absolutely.
And you have to do every bit of it. You have to DJ, you have to compere, you have to host, you have to be funny.
I done that, and as well at the start, out meeting, greeting, talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of girls here that will not talk, don't talk to people. They'll just be like, don't walk the stage.
I understand that. But you cannot keep doing that. Because someone is going to sit back who's paying you money and go, I need more.
Yeah.
I need more. I need banter. I need you to connect. I need audience participation. I need someone in the audience going, oh my God, I think that was me. And there you go. There's your story. there's the butt of your jokes, there's the you know, the comparison with someone in the audience.
Well, there's always somebody, isn't there?
There's always going to be someone there going to me, I think she's talking about me, you know?
You know who is absolutely hilarious on a microphone? Becca Boots.
She good?
She is fantastically hilarious. She came out with some, God love her, Mother's Day, there was this girl with a wee up top, a bun. She was like, oh my God, Roxy, your contestants, Miss Trunchbull. Fuck, I near fell drop. I was like, whole room erupted. And I was like, ah, fuck, I bet she knows her shit.
Oh, she's been revising.
They've all just been listening to the shit I'm coming out with. Yeah. Like, stop it, I'm a bad bitch. I'm wild, for God's sake. I just come out with it. I'm like, have you offended?
Oh, I know, I know. I've seen it.
The people.
Because we're I think we're having drinks after the show on April the 19th. Because we want to watch you.
Oh, stop.
Support
it.
You.
Oh, God. Well, funny enough, actually, on April 19th, Miss Rena Fame is on the show from Sparkles Gran Canaria.
She's coming to your show?
She's on the show. She's performing.
She's going to perform a
show? She's performing straight after you and my... So she's joining me as a guest because she's back in Belfast visiting. And I was like, you can't perform, girl.
Okay.
So we've got a little Gran Canaria on the 19th.
A little canary bird?
Yes. Like, we'll fly Brandy over it as well. We'll get it all. We've got all the girls, folks.
Oh, that's good. We'll be able to watch then.
Yes, it's going to be a really good night.
Uh-huh.
But first, we're going to do a very short break in the show. We'll be back with more crack, banter and stories with myself and Tina just after this very short break. Hello and welcome back to the Laundry Room Podcast, where I am joined this week by the double G. It's the Legs Tantrum.
Yeah,
double G for Galdem.
Do you know what, just before I forget, can I mention our own podcast, Sips and Giggles?
Oh, that was on my list a bit.
Is it on your list?
Oh, yes,
I'll leave it for later,
because
I want to talk about my work husband.
Of all my beats.
I'm hoping to start a new trend within the drag community. Everybody should have a work husband.
Absolutely. I want one now.
It's like having a gay marriage without the sex.
Oh, well, actually,
everything else is just lovely.
We'll have to give him a shout out. Glenn, of course, the one and only Glenn McGugan.
Glenn Marshall Adams.
Marshall Adams? I say, Jesus. We were too busy talking about old days. I went right back to
when he listens to this, because he's a podcast, like,
he
loves his connoisseur. He is a
nose.
Definitely. And
I actually have a list of Instagram questions, and Glenn has written in with some bits and pieces for us to answer.
He has.
Oh, from the post today, they went up this afternoon.
Surprise. I'm not a bit surprised.
Questions get you between the eyes.
Okay.
They are theirs. So before we go into those, I've got more bits and pieces from over the years. Tell me, what was it like in the 1920s getting the bus to the old well for water?
Oh, picture it, Sicily, 1911.
Oh, claps to your mama. Tell me this, how the hell, we all know the Sunday Bingo Show, fucking, that's where I began my career, that's where I became the woman I was, but how did you meet those other two motherfuckers, Mr. Scrumptious and Lady P?
What
Lady
happened DeMonte? Was, I was the manager of the Groovy Train, and we had a big dance show.
That was in?
In the M Club.
M Club, which is now some...
Alibi. So we were in there, and Gordon, aka Trudes, was one of the dancers.
That's
and we had
right.
four female and four male dancers. And I walked in when I just started peddling my drag and getting bits of gigs, and the Parliament was up and running, Crow's Nest was going, and I had like a Tuesday night and a karaoke bingo thing, and the same on a Saturday. And Trudy was dabbling in her drag, and then I said to her, here, if you were a drag queen, what would your name be? Straight away she went to me, Trudy Scrumptious. I knew. So then I had this idea about a show. And then I spoke to Trudy about it. And then Trudy had said, oh, I know this other guy called Marcus. And he's called Lady Portia Diamante. So long story short, we went to the Parliament. We've got this idea for a wee show. We started off, I have the videos. The history I have.
Oh, I would love to see that.
You want to see them?
To see that. And Trudy's episode of this podcast, well, she explained that you went with the idea, and there was nothing on a Sunday night at all.
No, there was nothing.
It was empty. Dead. So they thought, we'll give you a go.
Aye. What they did. Happen? They were like, yeah, go. And we had this tiny wee piece of wood as a stage, and my then boyfriend Alan was the DJ, and we used the kitchen as a changing room, and we done about six numbers each. And then we done a finale. But what our saving grace was...
Kids now wouldn't know six numbers, they'd die.
So it started off with like five people in the audience. And then all of a sudden it was like 10. And then it was like 20. And then it was like 30. But our closing number was the same every week, and it was the Court of King Caractacus. Now keep the ladies on the hill and when
they're hung, we're just passing by.
Together now.
19th of this month, I'm going to download that for me. I'm going to hit you, bang. Let's go.
And then we had the wee dance routine to a team, myself, Portia and Trudy. And then they came just and said, it's getting really busy, do you want to go upstairs? But they had a stage, and the rest is history. And I have a video that my partner, ex-partner, took at that time. And we used to go on a Sunday night, we put out the chairs, the tables, the lights.
Done it all.
We used to clean, and we used to put the lights on. And Trudy will tell you, what we had as a dressing table was an ironing board. And there's photographs that I have of us nearly 30 years ago putting on our nails. We were so raw that we had the best fun.
Yeah, that's...
It was so raw. We hadn't got a clue.
No.
And then we went our separate ways because it then changed hands and it became mint. Or Coke or something else. Anyway.
Part of it, and then became mint, I think, after that. And yellow and all was part
yellow
of that.
Yellow was part of that. And then what happened was we went to another wee club to do our show, and Trudy didn't want to do it. And then the Union Street thing and all happened, and then we went there, and Trudy and Portia went. And then I said to Edie McClay, you know, we used to have this wee show on a Sunday. And he said, what was it called? But what happened was, you remember Big Revlon?
Absolutely. Christian Nairn. Game of Thrones, the one and only.
He came to our show.
A lot of people don't know he was Revlon. Even my mum, I was like, did you not know?
And I'll tell you another very interesting fact. The year I won Alternative Miss Ireland in 2001, guess who came second?
Revlon. Fuck off.
And it was the year before she saw me in the street in 2000, and she said to me, why were you not at the Alternative Miss Ireland? And I went, what's that? Told me all about it. Got a troupe of dancers, went down, performed, and done the three rounds, and I came first and she came second. I thought she was going to win.
Yeah. Oh my fuck. And I didn't know he was in it.
She came second. And Teddy was her drummer. Teddy was her drummer. And we had such a good fun night. But what happened was then Revlon had came to me and said to me, why do you not come to the Kremlin no more? And I said, well, Lisa barred me. What for? And I said, I've no idea. I walked up one Sunday night with all my friends and she said, you're not getting in your bar for life. And I went, right, okay, and turned and walked away. And I would never beg to get in anywhere. I would ask for an explanation. I was like, yeah, fine, okay, bye-bye.
All right, well, no problem.
So we all went our separate ways and we started this drag show and it really took off. And Christian said to me, leave that with me. A week later, I got a phone call from, what did you call the owners? Andre and Seamus.
Seamus
and Andre.
Yes, the first owners.
Isn't it ironic that it's Andre and Seamus? That's how it should be pronounced. Andre and Seamus.
A and S.
Everybody on the scene, Seamus and Andre.
Seamus and always the reverse.
Always,
right?
Yeah.
That's the same with a load of things. Like it should be an alphabetical way. Absolutely. It's like, should be Glenn and Tina, but it's Tina and Glenn.
Tina and Glenn, yeah.
Well, it is Tina and Glenn.
And the thing about it was what was so interesting was it was a week later, and then I had a meeting with the boys. Then they allowed me back in, and then Teddy left.
That's right, because Teddy was in the Kremlin at the time.
And she went to the new Mint.
Mint and Yellow and all that sort of stuff.
Trudy and all went round there. And I just happened to have this chat with Eddie one day and he said to me, he said, what was it called? And I said, get your cards right. And he went, what did you do? And I said, well, me, Trudy and Portia, we used to do like a few numbers each and we'd done a bit of a talk and all. And he was like, you just talked? And I was like, yeah. So then Trudy had
that wasn't a big thing at the time, people talking.
Panty and Miss Veda.
Yes.
Veda Bonrev used to do a Thursday night karaoke.
That's right, in Dublin.
So then they gave that.
Sorry, they were up here.
They were up here. They've done that in Union Street every Thursday.
Fuck, that's right.
And the
place is
packed. So they just bought the building next door, Seamus and Andre, and then they made that the shoe factory. So then Trudy and Porsche's karaoke was on the Thursday night. I was doing different nights, and then I actually started on a Sunday night doing the bingo with Robert Brown.
I remember those posters. I remember seeing them. They were always in the back office.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at them fucking pictures. Me and Russell and I go, look at them fucking pictures. Oh my God.
And then Edie was very interested. So Trudy and I and Porsche got together. And then I said, what are we going to call it? And Edie just turned and went, when we agreed we would do it, he was like, it's called a Sunday Bingo Show. And that was it.
And I remember it very,
and I
very,
think
very well.
The platform we didn't realise we were creating was something that will always be the Belfast template of good, strong, historic drag. Because you and I are kind of very kind of old school. We love a good chat. We love the banter. We love the microphone. We love the attention. We love the shock factor.
Yes, baby.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
As much as it is to get up and like lip sync, Roxy, and perform and do your comedy numbers and all.
Yes.
You know, people love the banter.
Love the banter. I can tell you right now, I fucking hate lip sync and it bores me.
And it bores me to death.
I'm like, Therese is the same. She doesn't do it at all.
Ever.
She just does what she does. And I could maybe do one or two. But see the whole show, I'd fucking ugh.
I think
I would
one or two
talk with you and have the crack and play tunes and DJ. And I'm loving DJing because I can have some cracking mixes and I love getting the party going on a Saturday.
Getting a good vibe. Getting
and
good
having such great fun.
When you done your podcast a few weeks back with the girls, and the reason why I wanted to go was because.
The heckle me.
No.
I'm only joking.
Was
you.
Because you were talking.
Talking. Yeah.
You were just talking and having a laugh.
Just having a laugh.
And it was so heartwarming for me because I sat there looking and going, look at those gorgeous queens, you, Sabrina and Rusty, with microphones in your hand. And it kind of took me back to the old Sunday bingo show days.
Back
it really it made me go, yeah, look at that, it's still doable.
Definitely
because
is.
I don't want to sound disrespectful when I say this, you know, but RuPaul's Drag Race has a lot to answer for.
It really does. I was actually gonna, that was a question, but today's drag is not what it is. It's like I'll whack on something from Shein, AliExpress, 50 quid, whatever. Not even 50 quid, 30 quid. I will walk up to somebody that's been doing drag 15, 20 years and go, oh, your wig is not great. I'm like, bitch, I will fucking treat you up this street with that wig. Yeah. You cunt.
I actually believe
it's the disrespect. I love, just like I don't know my I don't know my history. That's the main thing. The history of the scene you're in or running around. You don't know nobody. Who the fuck's yay? Why yay? I'm
like, well, all the baby drags are very, very nice to me. And when I see them posting on social media platforms, I always leave a very, very healthy, positive comment. I think here's what the problem is. There's been so many gorgeous queens created. There's not enough shows for them.
That is also the thing with Drag Race. There's just so much.
It's so much.
Oversaturated. Trudy said the same thing. It's very oversaturated. So much now.
Yeah.
There was so much like events, like brunches were the whole thing for so long. Like, it's so oversaturated. Like, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And then it was something else. And it's like, what's the next thing?
What's
the next?
When does it? I mean,
a lot of boys, girls, all genders got into drag. Yeah. As a drag queen myself, you can see something, and I'm sure you can as well. There's something in someone, you know, you're doing drag because you want to do drag. Yeah. You are a drag queen. Mm. I think I said this with Brandy. Or you can see queens that just do it because I seen that on TV. I want to dress up and get the attention. Yes, work, mama.
Yeah.
Make TikToks. I'm like, that's all well and good, but where will you be in X amount of years? Will you like this?
What's your 5-year drag plan?
Yeah.
And if your 5-year drag plan doesn't exist, well, then you may as well make the most of what you're doing right now because. I mean, way back then, even then, I knew I really, that's all I ever wanted to do. And as my father, God love him, God rest him, had said to me, don't be a drag queen, be the drag queen, was the most inspirational.
Don't be a drag queen, be the drag queen. That's really good advice.
Blew my mind that he was so accepting in that moment, but also said something that just really drove me to go, oh my God, and you know what, I'm going to try. So, I look at all these kids and I think, you're gorgeous, you're pretty, you're talented, you've got what it takes. But where do they go? Where do you put them? You know, how do you kind of sort of guide them and give them... They want to work and they're great and they look amazing and they're beautiful and, you know, and I'm sure they would love to take the microphone and stand like you and I for 20 minutes or half an hour having the best time.
Boom, 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 boom.
And then a few wee lip sync numbers. I think our scene needs... different new shows.
Yeah, I do agree.
Like, you know,
everything's very much quite the same, and a lot of people
really
go to one place. A lot of people say yes to everything and are all verbal online and make these things gay again because they feel like certain days of the week and stuff are like, there's too many in this, we don't like this. But if you want to make something gay again, and I've said this, I've wrote it on Facebook, to that place. It is like it's like the animal world, where you're in the middle of the desert and there's a whole bunch of fucking wildebeest all like, they've taken over the place, and then the lions, the gays, are like, you know what, we're taking back the fucking the land from the wildebeest, so we're going to slink in and just take over.
And I
you have to
I think when the executive had fallen apart for 3 years and then we got equality, It wasn't the politicians, our local politicians, who got us equality. It was the fact that Stormont collapsed. Yeah. Then it went through Westminster.
Yeah.
And because Scotland and Wales, they had it. It was like you couldn't say Northern Ireland. No, you can't have it.
You have it
But
too.
Then again, I mean, they did try to champion it. And of course, the you-know-who, DUP, had blocked it every time.
All the time?
Every time. So
nothing else to do, for fuck's
without
sake.
I don't even want to go down that path. Oh. We are where we are now, and our scene is thriving, and all around that whole area, the queer quarter, all of those blocks that are going to for students, and in the next 5 years, it's going to become a real positive, young, vibrant hub.
Absolutely.
So there is the potential. There is the potential to create a few more different, you know, if you want performing queens, just performing queens, there's room for it.
Yeah, absolutely. What I always would love to see is, I would love to see more drag queens in the Kremlin nightclub.
Mm.
Do you remember, I remember, like, she was a club queen, do you remember Felicity B. Wilde?
Yes.
Huge, massive.
Massive.
And just walked around going, fucking blah, blah, blah.
And she was like Celine and Tara Pizza.
Like, massive, or the likes of Teddy years ago walking around the club with just a platter of fruit.
How was that?
Do you remember Event Horizon? Like,
I remember it well.
That was,
oh well, my God. I kind of remember it.
Run to fucking 7 a.m. or something, and there was a queen walking, whoever it was, with a platter of fruit, and it was like, oh my God. Just, you don't have to be performing or anything, just
but you
a
see,
presence. Sometimes a presence people sometimes want as well. Like,
the point,
there's a queen here, so I feel a bit more, right, this is my house, this is my place.
The point that I was making there was that then we went and we got equality. So we have equality. And don't yap and moan about your neighbours, your best friends, your workmates, your family coming to watch the drag shows, and straights, so on and so forth, you know, coming in and we don't have this anymore. Well, get up off your ass and come and support the shows.
Come on down. You know come where it down. Is. We're sitting there. We're here. We will fucking bring you in. Your tables are waiting.
So that's why I'm part of this new adventure.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday the 4th of May 2025 in La Creme de Creme with the three Titanic queens.
The three T's?
The three T's. Tina, Trudy and Titty.
Yes. In the Kremlin.
In the Kremlin from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Tickets are £15 each from Eventbrite.
Absolutely. Yesterday, so it's literally over...
Over
30s as well, so people remember what it was and what we're talking about right now. Back again. And it actually sounds fabulous. I'm buzzing for that. I think it's actually a great idea.
And that came from actually Leanne and Michelle from Spaghetti Arms. This is their baby. And when they had approached me and said, would you be interested? I prayed when I looked into my calendar. I went, please let me be off. I want to do this. Because I just think to bring back a bit of old school. And this you have to embrace change.
Yes.
Our community has changed. Every community has changed.
Everything changes.
As the generations come up and up and up, everything will change, and you've got to embrace it whether you like it or not.
Oh, why?
And this is not, I'm not like being ungrateful. And yes, audiences have changed. They're always going to change. Somebody's going to want to bring their mum, their neighbour, their workmate, their doctor, their physiotherapist, and say, "Will you see this drag show? You'll have a laugh.
You'll love it." And they do.
And they do.
And they're like, "Oh my God, this is my first time I've ever came here. That was hilarious." Like,
where have I been all my life?
There's people that have sometimes, even before you'd went off to get your operation, you've done Saturdays. I followed on the win. We've sat right through with me right to 10 o'clock. Oh, went, "This has been brilliant. I can't see. They're fucking blocked because I've been in all afternoon." But I'm like, "Thank you so much. I get pictures drooling on my shoulder." I'm like,
embrace the change. I do believe that whole entire quarter, with all these investments that are being made, these living quarters for all the new young up and coming professionals, entrepreneurs, you know, youth, and it's so good that our city, I can see this happening in our city, and I think in 5 years time we're going to be a hell of a lot richer, healthier, wealthier.
Absolutely, I hope so.
Our wee community is right in the heart.
It really is. And I definitely just want anybody listening, come out to it more.
Come on.
Literally, you have two places, two venues, which are both nightclub and bar. They're there, come out. We are there every week. You've got your queens, and both bars are all there to entertain you. That is why we're there.
Mm.
And we want to see more of a community. We want to see more familiar faces.
We do.
And I become more, and I'm sure you would see when you see, fuck me, where have you been? Yeah. We tell me, meow, meow. Have meow, to meow. Give him a shit. Love him with and all
the
my
big,
heart.
You know, the big characters that we met and we knew and we danced and we drank with back then. Everybody's going to get older. Everybody's going to move on in life. And it would be nice to have a wee something once every now and again.
Absolutely.
Sunday afternoon, you know, having a drink and a dance. You will go to work on Monday morning because it's over at 10 o'clock.
I love events.
You will
like that.
Get to see your old gay friends or the new gay couples, and they're all over 30. Like,
oh my God, you're married with a child. You've got a day out. Yeah. I haven't seen you since and XYZ.
There's the difference. When you think back, Roxy, to between, like, say, 15 years ago, and it's kids and dogs and mortgages and lovely homes and all now. So people's priorities within the gay community have changed.
Everything's changed. It wasn't just like, I remember even years ago, people just went out for the night.
You live for the weekend.
You live for the weekend. People don't anymore. It's like there's other things.
Gays went out on a Thursday and came home on a Monday.
That was it. Yep.
That was it. 100%. That was 15 years ago.
100%.
Gays these days are a bit more wiser.
Once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon. And they make a day of it.
And make a day of it.
I like it when the gays make a day of it. When they go, do you know what? Who's on? Who's on? Tina's on first. Roxy's on next. And then here, Wicked White does 10 o'clock, doesn't she? And I think, okay, let's embrace this change. Let's do something with it. And I think there's more there for all of the communities, not just the gay community. You know, like Robert Brown does a fabulous Men Only.
Boo Boo, the one only.
Boo Boo.
Absolutely fantastic. I was just recently judging Burr of the Year, dressed like a fucking whore. I loved it. It was fucking great.
That's a good girl.
They're all going around with pegs, sticking on pegs and all their foreskins. Brilliant. Shout out to Robert Brown. He's fucking great.
Hello, Roberto. Hiya, Ruby. Hiya, Ruby, love.
But yeah, there is so much going on. There's so much different things happening, and it's just literally getting people out to come and give it a whirl.
But here's another thing. Here's come another thing. Because people, as I touched on there about things have changed, and even the gays have changed slightly, and but also people want a bit more quality. You go out, used to be 20 years, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You went out from a Thursday, you came home on a Monday.
Yep.
You went to work.
You're straight to work.
Now people are looking at their dollar and thinking, okay, I want to go out at a certain time.
Yes.
But I want my money's worth.
There's not, you're not getting paid enough. And everything's so dear.
Very.
Everything's so dear.
So people like yourself, like me, like Trudy, like Pauletta, like, you know, like Teddy and all, go all out to know and realize we appreciate what you're doing, why you're here, how much you're going to spend. So we're going to bust our girly ghoulies.
Absolutely.
To ensure you have the best fucking day.
And make sure, like a Mother's Day finishes show, everybody come up to me talking. Say, did you have a good day? Did you enjoy yourself? Yeah. Fantastic. Thanks for coming.
I was on a pure dry queen bender. I was working at Monkstown Social Club on the Friday. I was in Union Street on the Saturday. I was in Up the Shankill. I was in Fourth River Bowling Club doing Crazy Bingo with my work husband, Glenn Marshall Adams. And then had to be in the Devonish Grand Ballroom by 4 o'clock. Show started at 4:30 and then we were on stage until 8.
Fucking hell,
and
love.
It was just us, just me and him. Could have took a plethora of the baby dry queens with me, but I thought, no, do you know what? I need to really get into this. I need to think about this. I need to do my homework. And Glenn was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, love, let's do this. And we did.
You have your
the tea. And as you say, it's like, are you okay? See, by the end of it, my hips were going to me. Get home.
Do your fucking bed.
Get into the hot tub now. Oh,
I remember on Saturday, I was literally just rushed in from the tipsy bird. I was like, fuck, give me a put my hair on. And I can remember turning the door and you were saying, hurry up the fuck.
I looked at you backstage. I was like, hi, you love. And like, you were like, Teddy, get me 2 minutes.
But Glenn was still taken down. So I was like, oh, actually, I'm all right. Fuck it. I take 2 minutes. Get me a drink. Alone. Let me see your sparkly trainers.
And even the. You were going to ask me a question about my work husband.
Yes, I actually was. So Glenn and yourself, you've known each other for years.
Oh, we were besties before this.
Absolutely. He has written in some questions. We have some questions coming from the Instagram.
Do you know, he texts me. He's a sleek wee frigger. He texted me and he goes to me, are you looking forward to the podcast, honey? And I was like, yes.
Why? What are you asking? So Glenn has actually asked, if Tina could change one thing about me, which is Glenn. So if you could change one thing about Glenn, what would it be and why?
Absolutely nothing.
He wanted to know something. You were getting fuck all. You would change fuck all about him.
There's nothing about Glenn that I look at and think, see you. And from our experience, here's what we done when Drags the Riches started to go.
Yes,
and
shows
and bookings and stuff. And I said to him, this is working. And he goes to me, I know, Tina. And I said, we need to put each other first. See, no matter what I do and it gets on your nerves, you need to tell me. And I promise you, yeah, I'll listen. And he was like, right, that's okay. And that's what we do. Mm-hmm. There isn't anything about Glenn Marshall Adams that I would ever change anyway, because the first time I met him many, many years ago in the Parliament, it was only a slip of a thing, and he ran about with Princess Sunset.
I remember them Bebo pictures, and whenever I first got to know people, I was like, where's Glenn looking at him? And it was a fucking stick of a thing, and I ate her.
Uh-huh. And do you know Glenn Marshall Adams had a drag name? Shushu
Lafoot. Yes! Oh my god, yes. And he always remembered it when he used to DJ for us the Sunday nights,
yes,
as well.
Yes,
I must say, Glenn was always one step ahead. He was always, wasn't he? I could say something and he would kind of know I was going to say something, maybe about the mechanics.
And it's there.
And it's just a sound, like boom, boom. And I was like, ah.
He loves the special effects, doesn't he?
Oh, I now have them on my lap. I was like, how do you have these on my lap? I have a whole soundboard. I'm like, disgusting, breakfast, all the fucking stuff. Yeah. Like, bang, bang, bang.
And he's such, and I learn from him. I learn from him like day and daily. You know, Glenn's mannerisms are completely different from mine. We are definitely salt and vinegar.
Yes.
Sugar and spice. Black and white.
That always works well sometimes. Absolutely. That is always the way usually things work so
and
good.
And when we need to talk, you know, we give each other time, we give each other space, we give each other, you know, that couple of days, and then it'll be like, come and have a wee chat, and I'll say yes. And I shut my mouth because I want to, because I want to listen. Because, you know what, above all Drags to Riches, above money, above everything else, my heart would be broken if I lost that man as a friend.
Yeah, it's more important than
he's more shows. Important to me. He's more important to me in my life as Glenn Marshall Adams, equally as is his husband. And it would mean more to me than say things didn't work out, but we still continued with the friendship. And then I would just carry on. But I was so blessed, and it was just an innocent phone call. And Drags the Riches was starting to take off, and it was myself, Azura, and Pure. And he phoned me to see how I was doing, and I was like, "Oh my god, Glenn, blah blah blah." And he was like, "Do you want me to help?" And I was like, oh,
yes,
okay,
please.
And within 2 hours, fixed.
Everything was done.
Run in order.
Flying.
And do you want me to, yeah, please, would you? Could you? And he had it fixed. And I fixed those mixes. Give us those mixes. Give them the mixes. And they came back. And it was like, oh.
All done.
And it was just like, you know when Glinda the Good Witch comes out?
Yes, out of her bubble. And you're like,
and she just stands there in front of the Wicked Witch of the East. And she goes, now be gone before someone drops a hiss on you.
And that's it.
That's what Glenn's like.
Yeah, he just fixes everything. He always
fixes everything.
I had issues with a laptop where my DJ program wasn't working. He was like, hold on, do this. And I would text back, it's fixed. Oh my god, thank you so much. And it was only giving me so much. I was in the middle of union, so it all cut off. And I was like, fuck.
That's exactly what Glenn is like. He's just a Glinda the Good Witch.
Absolutely.
He just walks out with his magic wand. He goes, boop.
Glenda the Good Marshall Adams Witch.
Yeah, now be gone, Tina, before someone drops a hass on you.
He's also asked a second question.
Oh.
He says, to both of us, so this is to both of us, how do you approach handling disagreements and conflicts in your friendship? Well, you've just answered that one as well.
Yeah.
Straight there. And I agree, same thing, literally, with anyone I work with or any. I never usually do have anything like that. I'm that chilled, I'm that relaxed. I'm like, yeah, we're great.
Well, what I have learned, and I love to learn, and I'm not that good with technology, but I appreciate the wisdom that Glenn has, because he works day and daily as a software developer. He also develops websites for different schools and companies and things like that. I'm very aware of what he has to do behind the friendship, behind the Drags to Riches, behind doing the mixes.
Before it all goes on
also
stage.
Married, and also has to spend quality time with his beautiful husband, Gary. And that can impact everything. Because you don't see it.
No.
You don't see the hard work and the graft and the hours.
Nobody sees me sitting here on a Thursday and a Friday night, sitting, putting together the shows for Saturday, organising wigs, making these podcasts, sitting editing everything to make sure, listening to make sure I haven't said anything bad. Can you call out and get cancelled? I know the way people are a wee bit touchy these days.
Oh,
you get cancelled.
I couldn't care less.
Me either.
I couldn't care less.
I always say that. You know when you hear my shows, if anybody gives a fuck, I don't care.
The one thing I've learned in the last few years, the one thing I care most about is my health.
Yeah.
Because I've known now what it's like to almost think to, for one day in my life, I was like, is this it? And then it wasn't, and I wouldn't give up. And that's why I took the bull by the horns and I phoned, made the appointment. Had I not have done that day, I don't know where I would have been today.
Yeah, however, what would you do? You'd be sitting in a wheelchair.
Going back to what Glenn had said, I think, obviously, you know, communication is key. And us being the fiery queens that we are, you and I could mean what we're saying on stage in a very funny, dark, sarcastic way. But what we're also capable of is when someone gives you that look and they're hurt, we would be the first to go, I'm sorry.
You know, you can read.
You can read. You've got to learn to read. And you've got to learn to look at the people as well who are in the audience, and they don't want you to even talk to them, go past them.
That's it.
Just don't do it, you know. But sometimes I can be a wee devil, because what I'll do is I'll go past them and I'll stand right beside them. I'll put my hand on their shoulder.
and you can just feel the fear
passing through your DNA from their DNA, and you're like, and then you walk on.
That was my Mother's Day show in the Balmoral. There's been 260 old people sitting.
I saw you going around.
And going around the room, and you could tell people don't want to approach, and that's fine. I will let you watch and enjoy, but those that do, I will be there. And they're and I will get, and I'm just, you can read people, you can read people's body language from a distance, or some, I see some shows and people just going over and going, or continuing on with, you know, banter, as they call it, and I'm doing inverted commas here. It's not banter, it's just sometimes destroying characters. You're not even bantering, you're just actually calling somebody an ugly witch. And like, and I'm like, no, you're not reading this person's back. You kind of go, and they go, right, well, give it up for her, she's gorgeous, right? And I run like fuck, and then go, anyway, who wants fingered? You know, just quickly break. I've another question here for you as well. It's from the one and only Monotone, the Beast from the East.
The Monotone.
The Monotone, the Brick.
I love that girl.
Brick Wadeck.
Love that girl.
She's fucking brilliant, I tell you. She's done a few of my Saturday nights, and there's more to come. She does our Death Drop, a whole heap, not right.
She doesn't.
She does. She gives it 30.5%.
Doesn't she?
What has been both of your favourite gigs to do throughout your dry careers?
First one was Alternative Miss Ireland. 2001.
That always
sticks. I touched on
with
that earlier. That always sticks with me. That night changed my life. Do you know, I'm going to tell, I don't mind telling the truth. I had a troop of friends with me that night, and when I won and I was with my partner, and I love my partying, and I remember he used to fucking squeal when I used to go partying and stuff, because he wasn't really into it. And I would never let any man tell me what I will and will not do.
Yes.
I want to go partying, I went partying. It was as simple as that. I wasn't doing anything dirty or derogatory.
No, you were just enjoying the crack with your mates. Yeah.
That night, I finished, and I was put into this car, and he was with me, and it was a private like limousine, and we turned this corner, and there was a big line of people, and I said, "Where are we going?" And the guy went, "This is all for you, Tina." And I went, "What?" So that it was the after party of Maternal Miss Ireland.
Oh, for quite okay.
And I said, "Stop the car."
And they're all keyed outside.
And he said to me, "What?" And I said, "Stop the car." And he went to me, "What?" And Alan said, "What are you doing?" And I went, "I want to remember this." I got out of the car at the bottom of the street, and I walked, and everybody was clapping. So he came with me, and we went into the club, and everybody was clapping. "Here she is. Give her a big rapturous warm round of applause. Blah, blah, blah." We were in the VIP, and someone handed me an E.
And I
gave it back.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, fuck, dude.
No.
Jesus Christ.
And I thought, nothing will ever make me feel this good ever again, and I don't want to waste it. We went back to the hotel. We didn't even stay that long, and because I knew Temptation was in the way, and it was floating around, and I went back to the hotel. I woke up the next day, and that's the morning I thought, I'm not doing that no more.
No more drugs?
No.
No.
None.
Wasn't trash.
No more partying.
Partying hard.
Partying. And I just thought, you know what, I don't need that, because something has happened to me and it feels so good. And that's when my life started to change. Now, it wasn't always easy. It wasn't all glamorous and it wasn't all fucking fabulous. I had to work my ghoulies off.
You do. Everybody thinks.
Yes.
Because they only see what they see from outside. Yeah, everything in the front.
They see you when you come in and you're all smiles and how are you and you're on stage and all. There's a lot of stuff going on the in the
end
background.
The things you're doing outside at work, the end of the night when you look like a fucking bust rat, you're like, that's me, my own.
The second gig I would say is every show that I have done. So my second favorite gig would be Union Street on Saturday, because you're only as good as your last show.
Yeah, that's very true. Actually,
you're only as good as your last show.
Well, so fuck, if I die tomorrow, I was brilliant the weekend.
Well,
fuck off, bastard! You went home. You didn't see me in the tipsy bird of the Balmore.
I saw you coming on stage at 7, and I was like, okay, "What?" Glenn's like to me, 6:59. You wouldn't say near 7 o'clock. Glenn's like 6:59.
Bang on.
Like, right, and a handbag, bit of lippy, as usual. No, I stick it under my arm, and you're like, "Give her a big round of applause, that big Millie from the Falls."
As I take over, just the test mic is like, the microphone voice goes on, it's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for the one who's tonight, Tina-like Sandra."
And then I mostly, and Glenn goes to me, "Why do you always go? Why don't you go at the back door?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? They all adore me. They all want their photograph of me. They all love me, and I love it." And they get mauled. You get mauled
always.
And they grab you. Have a photograph.
It's the neck. It's the hand around the back of the neck. I don't like that. I'm like, put it around my waist, not my neck. My head.
Yeah.
Waist, not my neck. That'll be my new thing. Like, give it up for Tina Legs Tantrum. Any pictures round the waist, not the neck.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Showtime in 10 minutes.
We do. I spend. I love wee lady D. You know wee lady up at Duff's now called Carby.
Carby Doll. Yes.
She
does the wigstress.
When she does a wig, she does it for life.
Can I one up her out of a nut brain?
Yes.
She goes, fucking helmet for the German war.
Never flinches.
She's like, you take out the Ukraine.
It's like Deirdre Barlow's eyes.
Can't. Fuck.
And
they are hard wearing hers.
They are brilliant.
Good.
And it's when she does them and they're all set and they're beautiful, and you get towards the end of the show and you're like, oh, I'm going to get mauled. And it's when people, and they're just being genuinely nice.
Just being lovely. They just want to hug you.
And they want to hug you and they want to hold you. Can I get a selfie? It's when they get it really physical and then they grab you.
Training, because they're about the size of a midget and they're trying to train. And you're like,
please don't. I tend to do the Oprah Winfrey thing. Hey! And then and put their arm around my waist.
Aye, so take the arm first before it gets to you.
Come on. And then put the arm around my waist.
I'm just shouting, put it around my waist, not my fucking neck. Not fucking her, cost me a fortune, you bastards. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, the last couple of ones that I have as well is, what was your memories of whenever Rusty and I joined you on a Sunday night? That was God, 15 years ago now. We've been at this bad bitch business.
It was lovely, because it was nice to see two really gorgeous young fresh queens coming in, because I'd been so used to the same cast, you know. And that's what I say, as I touched on earlier, embrace is different. And one of the most beautiful things I ever learned from Trudy Scrumptious was, and I didn't know this for a very long time, because I always thought my drag was the way it's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
right? And I remember having to think to myself, for me to understand Trudy as a drag queen, I need to get inside Trudy's head.
Yeah.
So for me to understand what Trudy's about and what her drag persona was about, I had to think like Trudy.
Yes.
Then I got it. Easier for me when you came along, and when Rusty came along, I was like, okay, just sit back and be quiet. Let them be Roxy. Let them be Rusty. Let them be who they need to be.
To see how it goes. Yeah. By fuck, I started in some way. I was like,
you did.
It went the other direction. At a certain point, it just went, nope. That's like, we're not doing that shite. Although it would go down like a fucking storm now with everybody's fucking
people. Some of the stuff that we got away with was groundbreaking and law-breaking.
God, and I'm so glad at the time there wasn't much pictures and videos. Or there was.
Uh-huh.
It was wee Kate that always sat in the front row. Do you remember?
Karen Faulkner with her phone.
Karen Faulkner. And Kate was always there.
Wee Lorraine. She never moved.
That's always sitting there. Oh, fucking pictures. Everything was videoed. And every week, Kate always said, I videos my show, love. Uh-huh. We used to go up watching on TV. I was like, oh my God.
She used to stand outside. Do you remember she had the big fags? What were they? Berkeley Blue or something? They were like a snooker key.
Oh, the massive.
And she used to stand there. She got, Mary, you like it? Mary, I want to. She was tiny and she was so thin. But
her picture's still in the dressing room. Still above the door.
I love it.
Yep, in the Union Street dressing room when you go upstairs.
It's, and it's that iconic photograph of her at Pride with her gorgeous wee grey vest on. And she just had that beautiful smile.
Yep.
And she looked like she was in the happiest place in her life.
She loved Pride. She always had a best day out.
She did.
And she never drank.
No.
She just smoked weed.
Coca-Cola.
Smoked weed.
Coca-Cola and a wee spliff.
A wee spliff. Loved her life. Her. But her picture is still, if you ever go to the dressing room one night, you'll see her. She's just literally above the door as you come in and stuck up in the wall because they got all painted and done bits to it. But I made sure that we kept that. Get that fucking picture back up there. That stays. And it's been there fucking for years. Even after I left Union Street, went to Maverick for a bit, then went flying the world and then came back and here I am. And it's still there and I love it. It's lovely to see her. It's great.
Never forget her.
Oh, she was a fucking absolute legend. And before we go, what is your likes and dislikes of drag?
My likes are, I tell you what my dislikes are.
My dislikes getting into drag.
No,
I hate getting into it. No. That's my coupon.
My
I fucking hate it.
My dislike is actually leaving and going home.
Oh, really?
And the reason why, obviously, that I go home is, number one, I'm not no spring chicken anymore, and I look forward to getting in the bed.
Same.
I'm way over the line. I don't have dislikes, per se. There's not anything about... I love the process. I love waking up and going, oh, my God, I'm going to work today. Oh, my God, I have a show today. I don't care if I get up. I get up at like 5:30 every morning.
You're from the crack of dawn.
The crack of dawn. And then I love the process of getting ready and having a shower and doing your makeup and picking your outfits and your accessories. And well, me and the girls are doing drags to riches. At 8 o'clock in the morning, I click click. I'm sitting doing my makeup
at 8 a.m.
Yeah,
holy fuck.
Because then that gives me time to then enhance the show. I wonder if I brought this. I wonder if I tried that.
Did I do that?
And the face is on. And not saying I'm the most perfect of me. I don't really care. I don't care about my look. I've never ever cared about my look. See, when I look in the mirror as Tina and I go, oh, you look lovely. I don't care. If my eyeliner was like one bit's upper and one bit's down and I'm missing an eyelash, do you know what I mean? I think I would have a love, more of a love than a like. And when I love something, I love hard.
Yes, you really. I'm like, I really love hard.
I love the process. I love sitting in front of my wee mirror. I love getting a wee bit of Donna Summer on, or ABBA, or Steps.
Oh, getting in the mood.
Are we getting in the mood? And are we shuffle? No, we shuffled playlists.
But you don't know what's coming next.
Don't know what's coming next.
Oh, yeah, I love it. That's brilliant.
And then yes. I get ready. And once I have my face on and I've walked the dog and I have my music on, I know your big suitcase, your drag case.
Yep.
Your drag bag.
I have that many fucking drag bags.
Don't
everywhere.
Even.
Various sizes, shapes, and different and things for what I want to carry.
And then it's laid out across the bed and you've got all your bits and pieces and you go through all your wee sheen bags. I love keeping those plastic sheen bags.
Fucking corner.
Yeah.
In an area.
Yeah. Do you know what the wee slidey latch? The wee slidey latch, and it seals as like a seal bag.
They're great
for
putting bows and all.
Aren't they brilliant?
Bows. They're great for keeping.
And they're great for your jewellery. Great for your jewellery. And even when I get shoes and stuff, I'm a hoarder when it comes to boxes and bags.
Oh, I just I'm like, I'm gonna keep that bag just in case you need that for something. Why? I have no idea.
So going back to likes and dislikes, I don't like, I love, and it's hard for me to dislike, and you can tell when I dislike because I would rather deal with it there and then. And you know, as I said earlier on, like for me personally, first and foremost, I didn't even get to say thank you for having me here.
Oh, my fucking pleasure. It's been in the works for a while, but you were off getting the Cagney and Lacey put in.
Cagney and Lacey, my girls, my twins.
your girly girls.
Neither of them, and you know, and I, it'll be 17 weeks tomorrow. Post-surgery.
Fuck, that's been quite quick.
Very quickly when you think about it. It's almost 17 weeks, I think, yeah. And now that I'm here, and because I went through that experience, and because even before the surgery, I was experiencing this thing, I didn't have a fear of saying, I'm not well, I can't do this.
Yes, you don't want
to. I just thought, get on with it, just get on with it, just keep going, just
I'll
keep
just
go going.
Just go do it, be all right.
Till the point I went, I can't do this.
The pain gets too much.
Too much.
Like, I'm getting pains in my back and lower back, and I have been for years. But then I've lost weight recently, and it's not as bad.
Mm.
But then my shoes are getting too high, my feet are getting sore, and I'm like, I'm literally like, I don't want to go into a smaller shoe because I'm so like, no, I love a big fucking gorgeous bit. But I'm like,
My wee physiotherapist said to me when
physiotherapist
when Glenn and his gorgeous husband Gary came to pick me up from Musgrave Park Hospital, he said to me, Tina, make me a promise. And I said, what is it? No heels until June. And then it seemed, what? And he said to me, please, just, and I said, okay, I promise. And I'm going to keep that promise because I miss them so much. I just feel really inadequate.
You just don't feel in drag.
You don't feel like you.
You're like, yeah. Hate people see me in a flip-flop, but sometimes I have to be, because I'm
to do
saving
it.
My feet from being in fucking agony. Yeah. Days like Pride days, like these long double gig days I do on Saturday, I need to
it's
wear
like
my
when you're on the float and everybody's looking at you from the hips up, but all the girls are on the float and they're all, yay, and you look down.
Adidas trainers, flip-flops. There's always somebody in just a tight, because there's no shoes, and like the bottom of my feet are fucking black.
Skechers.
Oh. Welcome to the world. I love a good comfortable fucking shoe.
Oh, you love a good old soft heel.
Mine's great. I don't mind. I was on like love it. Loads of stuff. The dislike is just getting ready sometimes when I'm very tired. You're like, oh, I have to get it. But once there's a certain point in the process, you're like, that is it.
That's it.
I'm a boom. Let's
you
go.
You get into it.
The energy appears. Everything appears. I walk out. I was like,
And after a gig, a good long, like a really good quality gig, it's like when the adrenaline is pumping and everybody's enjoying themselves and the music is on and the fist pumps and all. Yeah, Whitney comes on. Everybody goes mad. And you know you have to go home. It's when the pain in your feet go.
Yep.
And you take their feet off. Your toes are like popcorn.
Like those wee, did you see the wee Chinese ladies that we used to fold lotus feet? They're like, oh, I'm like, I go back into that back of that fucking floor in the stage and he's like, great, how will I know? And I just literally, how will I know? I'm in fucking agony here and shit. And I get into flip flop and a fucking pink velour tracksuit and slip out the back door like a dead corpse.
And I used to think, I had left, unfortunately, Union Street back in 2023, what I was doing was I was slipping out of my heels and nobody could notice. And then when I had to get back up on stage, I was slipping back into them.
I'd be looking at something, you just want to take them off a wee bit and hide so nobody can see.
But
I'm so vain, you wouldn't want them to see without. I'm like, you'll never see me without. And
it's vanity.
From the day on, I've been really in drag. I'm like, you will never see me in a flat, you'll never see me without a wig.
No.
I'll maybe wear a turban, maybe wear a wee short pussycat wig.
Something.
Never bald headed motherfucker. Yeah. No chance. I'm like, I am just so particular, and I teach other ones, don't let anybody put a fucking necklace on.
Put something on.
Do you? Yeah. Look, well, don't let them catch you, because there's fuckers out there. I'll save pictures and be like, I can't. But here, Miss Legs Tantrum, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you,
on
honey,
the Laundry Room Podcast. Your laundry is ready.
My laundry is ready.
Yes.
Ready for collection.
Bluetooth device is now connected. Bluetooth device. Connected. Yes, every single Saturday then, we are back weekly.
Street, yeah.
Yes. Is Mr. Glenn with you every week?
Every week.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Cannot wait to be taken over from his then every Saturday. Get away doing it. And it's free in. It's not free. You don't have to pay for it. So we're talking about money and all that carry on earlier. Buy drinks at the bar. It's free in. And it's a great day. It's karaoke. It's crack. And of course, the fucking banter. And then I take over at 7 o'clock.
The G&T karaoke show, followed by Roxy Tumble Dryer plus guests, followed by Wicked White and guests.
Absolutely. Myself and
so
my
you've got full on drag queen personified
right through
every Saturday.
All day long, absolutely, and it's all going on. And of course, we've got a refurb. Everything coming. There's loads coming. Look forward to the summer. Look, the sun is shining. The weather is sweet.
The summer of 2025.
Make me want to move me dancing feet. That's any Bob Marley there, whatever the fuck it was. Anyway, again, thank you so much.
Thank
it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Make sure you listen to the your podcast, G&T. Podcast
Sips and Giggles.
Sips and Giggles on G&T. G&T's
karaoke.
Sips and Giggles. Yes, it's on Apple, all the places we get your podcast, and it's out every single week as well. So listen, love, and enjoy. Folks, thank you for listening as well. As always,
you
are amazing. And again, I will see you all on the next one. Until then, be good, be safe, and if you can't be, sure, just get fingered by a man with a coat on. Bye.
Bye.